Today on Vulnerable at Home, I get to speak with the most inspirational person, Tia B. Stokes. She's a content creator, a dancer, a mama of five, and a cancer survivor. I adore her so much, and I'm really excited that she took the time to speak with me. I'm Christy Carlson Romano, and this is the Vulnerable Podcast. Welcome to Vulnerable.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I mean, Tia, you know nothing about being vulnerable, right?
Nothing. I mean, I don't cry on the internet ever.
Tia, the last time I saw you, we did this really great live for, it was the Cancer Society, right?
Yeah, right. Yep.
We actually raised money together. We did like a fundraiser.
We did. I know. That was so fun.
It really was, only because like we got to chat about a lot of stuff, not as specifically as today, but like we got to meet, first of all, because
yeah,
I have been a fan, a lover, a supporter of you and your journey. And I'm just always just so pleased to see you in a good place. And so when I got to do the live, it was just, I was fangirling most of that time.
Which I was fangirling too, most of it.
Oh. So. This is working out great. And you know, something I told you the whole time, because you are an amazing dancer and a dance teacher as well. You have a studio. And yeah. I was like, oh gosh, I really don't do like TikTok dances and I don't do dances. And you helped me through that and gave me a little bit of confidence to do TikTok dances.
Yeah, I've seen you dancing. I've seen you doing your thing on TikTok.
But honestly, I hadn't even thought to do anything physical with my body like that for me to like enjoy in that moment that we did that. And I think that there's definitely something, which I'm sure you can explain to me and to us, that it's kind of life-giving in some ways to just not think about anything and just have a fun in that moment and dance. Totally. Even if you're not the best dancer, it's just do it, I guess.
Well, it's just like living in that moment. And that's what I always tell like my classes when I teach, you know, dance is I don't care if you're the best dancer or you've never danced before. But there's nothing compared to just turning on the music and just being free for that, however long it is, you know? And there's just something about people, like when I watch people dance and you know, anywhere, it's just, they just come alive. Like you become who you are. Like there's no judgment. There's no, you know, you're just living your life, being free, having fun. I mean, you can't deny that when, you know, music goes on and you're just moving your body, having a good time, that you're having fun. And that's what life's about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, if COVID taught us anything, it's that living in the moment has to be a priority.
Oh, totally.
Right? And so I almost want to go back to, I don't know if we want to go back to the beginning or whatever with who you are. I actually really do want to get to know you better.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I know your journey, you know? I know your journey, and I've been like on pins and needles at times and literally just been like praying for you and celebrating with you as well.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about even before that. I mean, you have five kids, right?
I have five kids, yep.
With your husband. Kids. Yeah. Yep.
I have four boys and one little girl. So
your little girl is just edible.
Sassy. That's what she is.
Ooh, mine too. Mine too. I got a 5 and a 3-year-old and they just every day it just gets more challenging.
Sassy. I know. My girl, it's so funny because I have four boys. And so, you know, boys are a little bit, they're crazy, but they're just laid back and, you know, whatever, they'll wear whatever. My little girl, she changes her outfits like 20 times a day. She wants, you know what I mean? She wants her hair done specifically a certain way. I mean, it's like everything's very specific. She wants you to do things specific.
She's a princess.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's a princess.
Oh, man, you got all the girl in that one little one. Because, yeah, that's how my second one is. And then my first one is a little bit more bugs and science and, like, you know, all that stuff. I'm trying to be like, yes, STEM, get it. Like, let's do that for you. And then the other one is, princesses and pink and, like, all the things. Okay, so five, you know, I'm actually curious, how did you meet your husband? Like, what's your relationship with dance? Like, how did you get started in dance?
Yeah. So I started dancing when I was 10. My sister I come from a big family. There's seven kids in my family. And my sister was a dancer. She taught dance. And so my parents, I'm the baby of the family. So, you know, when you get to the baby, it's kind of like,
I do.
Are you the baby?
The baby of four. Yeah. And my sisters also danced. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So it was one of those things where my parents were like, okay, like your sister's a dance teacher, you're going to go and dance, you know, like that's what you're going to do because it's free and she can teach you. So I started dancing. I fell in love with it actually. And I danced in the studio. I grew up in the studio, danced, you know, 20 plus hours a week. And I actually, all I wanted to do was be a professional dancer. That's what I wanted to do. And I actually got my first dancing opportunity at the Billboard Music Awards for Beyonce Knowles. I was a senior.
When she had two names.
Yeah. Yes. So I was a senior in high school and I had my first like dancing opportunity with her and it was just so much fun. So I ended up traveling with like a group called USA and did a lot of like NBA, NFL halftime shows. Cool. We had lots of fun experiences that way. And then I moved back to Utah in 2007 and I decided that I wanted to, I was actually being managed at the time by Britney Spears' dad. And
what?
I know. I know.
I did not see that on Wikipedia.
It's like I've lived two different lives, Christy.
Oh, I'm here for this and I'm glad I asked. Okay. That's crazy. Was that a good experience for you?
Yeah, it was. It was great. And it was
all business.
Yeah, it was great. It was fine. Mm-hmm. But so I was gonna go back and, you know, all the things and have all these auditions and meetings and whatever. But I decided that I wanted to stay in Utah and I wanted to get married and I wanted to have a family and I wanted to do whatever God wanted me to do, basically. And so I stayed in St. George, Utah, and I was working at Golden Corral at the time. Little old buffet GC. And I stayed there. And the craziest thing is I ended up meeting Andy. Like Andy, he played professional football he got drafted to the Patriots.
And oh, wow.
He played for the Arizona Cardinals. So he was actually in between teams at the time when he came back to Utah. And we ended up meeting, and we fell in love. And literally, okay, you're not going to believe this, but
I am.
We went on our first date December 15th. We got engaged December 31st. And we got married January 26th.
That's amazing. You just knew. You just knew?
We just knew. It was one of those things where we just knew.
I was engaged to Brendan 2 months after meeting him. So I 100% understand that.
And it was awesome. But he ended up, so he left for football like 6 days after we got married.
You got married? Oh, so it's kind of like the military. You were like, yeah, he's going to shipping out.
Yeah, exactly. And it was kind of crazy because I started that same year, I started a dance group called Calamity. And at the time, I didn't know, you know, I just wanted to continue dancing. I wanted to continue my passion. Sure. At the time, I didn't know why I named it Calamity. But then we were getting ready for our first concert, and one of my dancers was diagnosed with cancer for the second time. So we ended up making it a benefit concert for her. And, you know, after that concert was kind of crazy because it clicked that that's what Calamity stood for, was dancing for people going through real life calamities, you know, and being able to dance for those going through cancer or other life illnesses.
Wow.
And so, the last 15 years of my life, you know, prior to my cancer diagnosis, I was dancing for people going through cancer and going through life illnesses. And then I get diagnosed and it just like everybody starts dancing for me.
When 2020 kind of hit, was that before or had you already been diagnosed? Because when COVID was kind of just getting started and TikTok was just getting started, yeah. and you were making lip syncing videos.
Yeah.
Were you diagnosed yet? I don't think you were, right?
I wasn't. No.
Right.
I had just had Rose. So I just had my baby girl Rose and she was 6 months old. But ever since I had, like, when I had her, I was sick. Like, I would just get, I had all these random sicknesses that were happening from the time I had her till my diagnosis. And, you know, nobody knew what it was, you know, because there was always like something. It was like loss of appetite, nausea. I just didn't feel well. I had an ongoing cough. So, and a lot of it was, I thought was postpartum. Like, I thought, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. Your body goes through so much after giving birth.
So there was times like when I was teaching in the studio where I couldn't breathe. I was literally on the ground and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm so out of shape, you know, because I'm thinking I just had a baby. My body's adjusting all the things. And then, yeah, I started, TikTok came and that was during that time. And I remember being so sick. I remember like specifically this couch that I'm sitting on, I would lay on every single day. And every day would kind of be my motivation to like get up, get ready, make a fun TikTok, like
like not think too much.
You know
about
what I mean?
It. Yeah.
Not think about my what I was feeling in that moment, but just do something fun, you know? And it's kind of crazy how that carried me through my journey.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's I mean, I am curious though, in terms of faith and sort of what's your relationship to all of that? Are you in Utah? Because it's more or less like, are you LDS or, I mean?
Yeah. So I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Perfect.
And I was born and raised into the gospel. My husband is as well. But for me, I feel like I'm so grateful for just the knowledge of like families are forever. I'm grateful for, you know, just the, I feel like my faith was a huge, especially being in that hospital room by myself, you know, physically alone. I feel like just prayers. I mean, I don't know if you remember, and even you. So
I do.
Thank you to you for praying for me and dancing.
I did.
For me.
I did. I honestly did.
You know, like so many people.
I was scared. I was like crying. Christy, there was a point at which when you were in isolation that I was like, oh my God, Dia, Dia. And I would talk to my husband. I'm like, I hope Dia's okay. But
oh,
you know,
Christy.
I know.
You're
I know.
So awesome. Thank you. Thank
but
you.
But honestly,
so much.
Like, you're very welcome. And you're, you know, I care a lot about you. But it's one of those things where it's like, I at best, TikTok has found a way to really create community. What people do with those communities is either good, it can be bad, it can be weird. But at its best, root cause is when it can help for a cause, I'm sure. And certain creators do embody those causes. And I don't think that there's a better person that's a successful, you know, embodiment than you. So can you just like take us through maybe like when you realized that you were going to start to like journal along?
Yeah, no, thank you. And thank you for that compliment. That's really nice of you to say that.
It's just true.
It's really nice. For me, it was just like I said, like I was all by myself. You know, I have family all over. And for me, when I decided, it was probably like 2 days after I got, you know, you get admitted that day. And the day I was diagnosed, I was admitted within an hour. Like I had, I had an hour to get into the hospital. I was so sick that they thought I was in a coma by the looks of my blood smears. And so that day it was just crazy. It was like, put in your port, have a biopsy, do this, like just going, going. So it was like 2 days later that I was sitting in my hospital room. I'm like, you know what? Like, I want to look back at, like, I'm going to win. Like, that was my first thought. Like, I'm a bad A mother trucker, you know? I'm a bad A mother trucker. I'm going to win this, but I want to look back and I want to see how hard I fought. And on those good days, on those bad days, I wanted to be able to journal that. And not only that, but I wanted to show people that they're still good in, like, they're still good to be found, even when the midst of a dark trial, you want to call it, such as cancer, mm-hmm. acute myeloid mm-hmm. leukemia, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I did. I started, you know, sharing my journey every single day, every step of the way on Instagram. I started doing TikToks every day mm-hmm. as a way mm-hmm. to help me to progress and, you know, fight off the cancer, but also a way to be able to share what was going on with my mm-hmm. day or what I was going through. And then I would do YouTube every night, you know, mm-hmm. and I would go live. And sometimes like those lives were scary. I mean, there's been some of my lives where I would just like pass out on camera mm-hmm. because I was so sick. But it was something for me that I knew that I would want to look back and be like, you know what? Like, I can do hard things. Like, I've done hard things and I'm here today and I am grateful for, you know, that journey, for what it's taught me, for what it's given me, for all the many awesome relationships that it's brought into my life, such as you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yay. And Colleen, I know Colleen Ballinger is a really big fan, right?
Yes. And Colleen, yes. We've become such great friends. And
yeah, that's
I so even cool. tell her, I'm like, you know, it's kind of crazy because I know it's weird to say like you're grateful for cancer, but when you have such great people, you know what I mean? But like,
yeah,
I probably wouldn't have met a lot of amazing, like my friendships in my life if it mm-hmm. wasn't for that opportunity, you know, if it wasn't
experience. And if in going towards the idea of faith and the narrative of us being sort of put on this earth for a purpose,
yeah,
you know, you being a mother, you being an amazing wife, like these things are all callings, and some of us realize it and then some of us don't, I guess, but what a wonderful you know, message to send to your daughter and your sons.
Well, there was something, my husband even said it. He was like, we were talking on the phone one day when I was in the hospital and he said, mm-hmm. Tia, I wish I could take this from you, mm-hmm. but I can't. He's like, this is your calling. If I were to have cancer, I would hide in that room. I would lock mm-hmm. myself up. I would be mm-hmm. miserable. I would be mm-hmm. mad, you know? He's like, yeah. This is your calling. Like, this is your purpose in this life, is to be able to bring this light and strength, hopefully, mm-hmm. to others and, you know, especially to our kids. So.
And I feel like I've seen a lot of duets with other folks, younger people too, that are in hospitals and kind of dealing with stuff. So yeah. How has that felt to kind of almost be like a role model to these young folks?
Incredible. Like, it just makes mm-hmm. my heart so happy to mm-hmm. see people fighting, like going through it now and mm-hmm. dancing through it, you mm-hmm. know, and finding the joy and finding like, it doesn't have to be an end all. It doesn't have to be I'm sick. I have cancer. I'm just going to mm-hmm. lay here in my bed and be miserable or die. Like, I just feel like it's been so cool. It's been inspirational to me to watch mm-hmm. others. And it's cool because I always get tagged in these, you know, duets or these videos of people dancing in the hospital. And I love it. Like, I love cheering them on. I love being able to see them, you know, shine their light and mm-hmm. to fight it in such a positive way.
And the nurses you do TikToks with always seem like they're a pretty good team for you too.
Oh, yes. Oh, totally. Yes. They're such good sports.
Right? Like, they're just... I mean, that it's just so wonderful to see that it's almost like a little community, a little family when you're there.
Yeah.
And how much you must mean to them and your story means to everybody there.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we also have, well, one question in terms of the dancing through it. You created a dance that we did on our live.
Yes.
And what was that like? Did you create that in your studio? How did you think of that?
No, I created that in my hospital room.
Gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was kind of funny though, because me and my best friend were talking. She's like, Tia, you need to do a dance that like I can just duet you. Because, you know, I was in my hospital room by myself and she's like, just do a dance that like I can duet you and that we can, you know, that people can do with you. And so I was like, all right. So that song Glorious was a song that I actually found right before I got diagnosed from another cancer fighter, Kim Can Kick It. And that was like her fight song that helped her. And so I remember watching her and before I got diagnosed. And I thought, if anything ever happened, like if I ever get faced with something like that, like I want to go through it like her. Like her strength is amazing.
Before you were diagnosed?
Before I was diagnosed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I saw her on Instagram and I just fell in love with her energy and just her fight, her grit. And mm-hmm. so when I got diagnosed, it was like a no-brainer. Like, okay, wow. This is the song. And this is where we're at, you know? And words are just so magnetic. Like the words of glorious, like reminding mm-hmm. us that we feel glorious, that we mm-hmm. have a chance to start again. You know, every day is mm-hmm. a new chance, every moment. And mm-hmm. that we were born for this, to remember that no matter what we're going through in our life, that we were born for these experiences and opportunities, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that's so beautiful, Tieda.
Yeah, thank you.
So, and when you say best friend, are we talking about your best friend that you helped with her pregnancy?
No. So you're talking about the girl I donated my eggs to, right?
Yes, yes. I thought maybe you guys were best friends, but it seemed like you guys are pretty close.
Yeah, we are pretty close. Yes. Yeah, we are. But my best friend she's actually my niece. So.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The woman you donated to is your niece?
No. My friend is just the girl that I donated to. And then my best friend is my niece. Yeah.
Got it. That's nice. That's really awesome. And your family's been obviously very supportive and rallied behind you with everything.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I have an amazing family. My family's amazing.
Have you ever felt like you had this is sort of an off the wall question, but like in a strange way, as women, I feel like so much of what we do is sacrificing for others.
Yes.
And I'm curious, like, as this was your calling, it also was something that you had to do alone and away from your family. Have you ever felt like you wanted to give back to them as a community? Or have you felt like all of this process has been bigger than just them and that in and of itself, it gives back to the entire sort of family?
Yes. I mean, I feel like that's something that I don't want to say struggle because I feel like I've been given so much, you know, mm-hmm. so many prayers and faith and love and fasting and just so much that is something that I hope that I can be able to give back, you know, one day. And hopefully even to my brother, for an example, mm-hmm. like my brother, my donor who mm-hmm. donated his, you know, stem cells to me, mm-hmm. that's something that I text him all the time and I'm like, I hope that I can make you proud or do something good with my life, you know? Like, I hope that I can do something good with my life to be able to show people, like, I am grateful for the life that people have prayed for the life that people have given so much time and of their talents and love to. And mm-hmm. that is something that I hope that I can either find a way or one day or, you know, be able to, that's one thing that I love about seeing people, like meeting people is because mm-hmm. I love being able to hug them in real life and be like, thank you. Like thank them and give them that, you know, just that gratitude back that I feel so, so grateful for my life.
I feel like I am seriously going to see you someday. I don't know why, but I know I'm going to bump into you at some event or something.
Yes.
And I am going to give you the biggest hug.
And I can't wait. No, we will. It will happen.
I'll make sure I don't have COVID. I'll take the test and then I'll make sure I'm like, I'm ready to hug Tia.
It will happen. It will.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of sort of giving back and all that though, like you had merch that you kind of created too and you were wearing it when you were getting your treatments done. And like, where are you at with that? Like, what was that like?
Yeah. So I'm still doing that. I'm still creating merch. And the crazy thing is I was kind of doing merch before I even got diagnosed. I was, mm-hmm. cause I'm all into, you know, self-love and body positivity and just like loving yourself and finding that confidence. And so I was doing some before that, but then when I got diagnosed, obviously it was something that my family especially really wanted to put out there in support and help and mm-hmm. and just show love. And now it's been awesome. Like I feel like now I get to put my own, you know, my own flavor into it and I get to express that my message of basically like living today because we're never guaranteed tomorrow. You know, we're never guaranteed tomorrow. So living today and being the best versions of ourselves today and being able to, you know, spread that aloha, that love, and especially that message of we got this, you know, no matter what you're going through, that as a community, through him, you, me, we got this. So it's been fun. I mean, it's fun for me to put it out there. It's fun to see people rocking it and believing in the message. Mm-hmm. And I hope that it continues, you know?
Me too. I do. Yeah. I do too. Why not? Yeah. So, and you mentioned aloha. So yes. Are you originally from Hawaii?
My mom and dad are. So,
got it. Okay.
Yeah. I'm originally from California, but got I live it. In Utah now. But yes, got my it. Parents are, my dad's Hawaiian and my mom's Samoan German. So.
Okay. All right. Interesting. There you go. Which means that you are absolutely gorgeous and you're
thank just you.
All year round.
Stop.
I have to hide in the winter and
whatever.
Or get us right. But and then so we did talk about, you know, body positivity. We mentioned how, you know, you helped your friend. Yeah. And I as if I could ever love you more, honestly. You start talking about on social media, you're like, oh, and this is my friend, and I gave her my egg, and this is the child. I'm like, are you kidding me? This woman needs wings. Like, I mean, come on. So how is that? I've seen you post about it, but what is that about, like, for you in terms of being able to give that gift to your friend?
Yeah, it was something that one of my friends was struggling with. She had tried to do IVF with her own eggs and it didn't work. And the doctors had told her that she was going to need a donor. And so I just offered to her that I would, I would offer to be her donor if she would wanted me. And it's been an awesome experience. I did go through, I'm a type of person that's like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. I got this. Like, I can do anything. Like, that's just my mentality always.
Tia possible.
Yeah, exactly. But at the beginning when so we went through the whole, like, I did the shots, all that process and stuff. And then she had her first baby and everything was great. And then I didn't have my, like, I only had three boys at the time. So I think the fact that she had a girl first kind of like was, I'm not going to lie, it was a struggle. Like I struggled a little bit just because it was hard seeing, you're just going through all these like mental thoughts, But my husband.
Well, aren't you super hormonal too because of the.
Yes. Yeah, you're basically, you have to take a pregnancy test saying you're pregnant, But my husband had said something really profound and he just told me, he's like, Tia, like those babies were always hers, those babies were always hers and you were just the vessel to help bring those babies to their family. Wow. And which really helped me a lot to be able to help myself like disconnect.
Yeah.
So that's what I believe. I believe that, those were always her babies. She has two little girls that look just like me. And she has, her and her husband have blonde hair, blue eyes, And
yeah.
Then she has two little dark girls that look like me.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Now, my kids know them as like their half sisters, but we call them cousins.
Wow. Right, right. And that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's good. They know me as Auntie Tia and I see them all the time and have an open relationship. And yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Good.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's really awesome.
That's really, really beautiful. Okay. Wow. You're just such a damn good human being. I really mean that. I really do. There's no sarcasm laced in there. I promise you that, like from the bottom of my heart. How do you and your husband kind of balance all this? I mean, this is a lot. Five kids is a lot.
Yeah.
What you're going through is a lot. Content creation continually is a lot. Managing your business is a lot. I think your husband, doesn't he coach as well?
Yeah. He's a high school.
So y'all have like 3-4 different jobs and 5 kids. Like, how do you guys do it? How do you manage? You just have
we
help
do. We have an amazing support. I mean, my husband, first of all, I have to say, I'm not crazy without my husband's like permission. Well, like, it takes it's team effort, right? Like,
yes.
He has to be on board with what I do, but Honestly, he pushes me. Like, he's the one that tells me to do it all. He's the one that tells me to keep going. Like, I honestly feel like I gained my wings when I married him because he just helped me to fly. He helped me to find myself and to help me to just soar and, you know, just to become who I am and who I'm becoming. We tag team a lot, really. Like, he's awesome at helping out with the kids. Then I have my awesome, I have Kelsey, who actually came in and helped us when I was in the hospital fighting cancer. And she stepped in and helped me to be able to take care of my kids, which was a huge blessing and such a miracle because, I mean, who do you trust with your kids? You know, like,
it's very hard.
I mean, as a mom, it's hard to find someone that you can be like, okay, here's my kids for the next month and a half. And
honestly, you didn't post a ton about that, but one of the things that connected me most to you was, you know, I had these littles in my life and I thought about you and your daughter. And I just connected with that in such a visceral way that you weren't next to them. And I knew, even though you weren't posting about it, how hard that had to be and how strong you were being for them. And I was like a silent understanding for all the women that were rooting for you. Like, we all kind of knew.
Yeah.
Like, that part of it must have been extremely, extremely hard, which I don't need you to relive. But but that is – but and again, like, that's so great that Kelsey was able to step in.
Yeah.
That's when family is – you know, people sometimes think that family is – like, we can take family for granted, right? Yeah,
totally.
And family doesn't necessarily have to be who you're, you know, born related to.
Yeah.
You know, you try to make it work with certain people, but – you know, I just think it's wonderful when a family member can really choose the right path and step up like that.
Yes. Oh, totally. Totally. And that was the biggest blessing of it all, was being able to have, you know, that help. And as a mom, like, that was honestly, that was one of the hardest, if not the hardest thing, was being away from my kids. I mean, I'm an active mom. I love – that's kind of like my problem too, is I like to play with my kids too much. I don't get a lot of work done. So that was really hard for me because I missed out on a lot, you know, and being away from them. But having somebody there that I knew that would create memories with my kids and love them really, it helped a lot. So
that's good. That's really amazing.
Yeah.
And now I do want to say something.
Yeah.
I never got more protective or upset about a creator and their comments than when I started seeing people, like, I guess you did some like replying to comments and stuff like that about people talking about your weight.
Yes.
And I was like, are you effing kidding? I was like, we have been through hell and back with supporting Tia. Here she is flying high and you haters want to come up in here and talk about her weight? How dare
you?
I was like, so angry.
I know.
And I'm still angry. And it takes sometimes me holding back when I see some of that stuff because I had seen a few comments and then I stopped looking because I was going to have to stalk somebody. I didn't want to.
You and Jennifer Love Hewitt. Jennifer Love Hewitt has become one of my greatest friends too now. And
love her.
Her too. She was like, she got on her Insta story. She's like, that is enough. Nobody stopped. Stop talking about my friend Tia's way.
I was so like, messed
oh
up,
my
man.
Gosh, I love her.
Well, so what do you think about that? Like, I mean, and just in terms of like, I don't think it affects you, but I'm sure it affects others. And
yes,
you tell me, like, what's that experience for you? Like,
yeah, and no, and that was my biggest thing about like it. Honestly, like, I think the biggest thing, the hardest thing was knowing that it happens to other people all the time, you know? And I think that's what bothered me the most. And that's why I use my example. Like, I responded to those things in a loving way, you know, trying to show people that there's more to life than what you look like. Like, I freaking survived cancer. Like, I'm here. Like, I might be however many pounds over or whatever, but like, I'm alive. I'm with my kids. I'm with my family. I'm enjoying life, you know?
You're moving your body. Your body's able to move.
Like my body. And I think that's something that we forget so often, you know, especially with society, is that, you know, our body does so much for us. And sometimes we get so engulfed in the temporal of it, of what it looks like and what it's, you know, what it looks like then rather than what it does for us. Mm-hmm. That was my biggest struggle. And I think a hard thing was seeing the shift in people, like feeling that shift was mm-hmm. from, you know, some people supporting and then all of a sudden I'm getting comments about my weight, you know?
So weird, right?
Where it was just so weird because I'm like, I'm going through some, like, I'm sorry yeah. I don't look like what you want me to look like. I'm sorry right. that when you joined my story, I was really, really sick. You know, I was really sick and I was basically on a feeding tube. I was on IV nutrition for a long time. So mm-hmm. it kind of just broke my heart that, you know, that's the way that people were portraying me and that they were looking at that instead of the bigger grams, you know, the bigger picture of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It is very, it was a big disappointment. I wonder sometimes how content is served
yeah.
then, you know, and what responsibility certain communities have, you know, to sort of safeguard that. And I just don't understand how that's salvageable, you know what I mean, in terms yes. of protecting the communities that we build. And then it's like, how the heck did that happen? It like creeped in one comment, two comments, three comments. It's yeah. like, what was it? Was it one video that you posted that all of a sudden yeah. you started noticing it? I mean, yeah. that's so yeah. weird.
Well, and it's really funny because weird. I was going through, I had just had my transplant. Uh-huh. I was going through graft versus host disease. I would just got put on steroids. So, I mean, if we all know anything about steroids, you know, that's what it does to you, especially yeah. when you're put on 90 milligrams a day. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we just forget that, you know, those steroids were helping me live. Like they were keeping me alive. We just forget that. And I feel like I hope through, you know, my stories and through my TikToks that people can recognize that, you know, there's more to life than, you know, being able to look at just what somebody looks like and remember that there's greater purpose in what we're doing here, you know, on this
earth. And also, absolutely. And also what your body can do for
oh yeah,
other people.
Yes.
You are such an amazing example of, yeah. of being no, able to you. To do that. It's really fantastic to watch. So what are your goals? And are you going to write a book? Because I'm going to buy it.
Yes, I want to write a book. I
TED
am actually,
Talk. TED Talk. I'll TED be your talk. Manager.
Yes, I am. I do. It's in the works. I mean, I'm oh, really, thank God. You know, I would love to be able to share my story and to be able to share certain parts of it and mm-hmm. the things that we've been through as a family. Mm-hmm. But right now I'm doing I speak a lot. I go out and I do lots of speaking engagements. I talk about, you know, my story and about finding joy in the journey and finding the positives in life and being able to help the youth is a big, you know, I love doing that. I feel like our youth need it more these days, you know, mm-hmm. more than ever. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a big part of what I'm doing right now. And yeah, I mean, whatever comes next, I'm game for. So
Where can we find you? Are you on Cameo? You need to be on Cameo if you're not.
I am on Cameo. Actually, okay, good. You got me on Cameo.
I got you on Cameo. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what? That's right. I did. And you know what? They yeah. asked me. They asked me. They were like, do you want to take commission? Because when you refer somebody to Cameo,
yeah.
they can give you commission off of getting that person signed up. And I was like, no, I'm not going to take commission. Give it to her or give it to cancer research. I was like, I'm not taking anything.
Oh,
so
you're so sweet.
I would get commission off of every single Cameo you do. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. There's no way that I feel right about that. I want her to make all the coin that she can possibly.
You're so awesome. Seriously. Yeah, you're the one that got me on Cameo.
I forgot about that. Well, see, there you go. There you go. So you're on Cameo.
Yes.
There's going to be a book that we're all going to buy. And otherwise, is Calamity doing any kind of like touring? Are they like, can we support
yeah.
Calamity?
We're actually getting ready for a big benefit concert, two concerts that we're doing in December. So we have a show in Southern Utah and a show in Northern Utah. Mm-hmm. Touring is in our future. I mean, that's one of my goals. I would love mm-hmm. to do that with Calamity and be able to help causes all over the world. I think that would be awesome. Yes. As well as taking, you know, speaking as well. That's like my big goal, is to be able to tie in Calamity, my Dance for a Cause mission, with, you know, speaking and sharing my story and helping others all over. So that's like my big goal, something that I hope to do, and be able to, you know, do Calamity and Dance for a Cause. So we're excited to do those shows. We're excited to be able to share our message. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'll just continue making TikToks and doing YouTube and Instagram. Yes. And
good. I'm so glad that you're happy and today's a good day. You're feeling okay today.
Yes. Thank you. Good. Yes.
Okay, good.
Oh, I'm getting ready for a marathon.
Stop it.
Yes. Stop.
How could you possibly put us all to shame?
Yes, I'm this weekend. This of weekend.
Course, of course you are. Of course. Bravo. Oh my God, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
I mean, I just love your spirit so much, Tia, and like I think it's just so easy to root for you and your family and your cause. And you obviously have a friend and a supporter in me. And like I said, if anyone wants to check you out, you are in Cameo, but you're on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube.
Yes.
And so people should just check out her journey, because it's not over. Of course it's not. Mm-hmm. And it's developing and growing, and good people need to, you know, they need support. So
yes,
go check out Tia.
Thank you, Christine.
Of course, this is not goodbye.
Yes. Just not. See you later.
See you later. And I will give you a big hug when I see you too.
Yes, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Thank you, hon.
Seriously. Thank you.
Vulnerable is hosted by me, Christy Carlson Romano, produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham, and executive produced by Brendan Rooney. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. Follow Vulnerable wherever you listen to podcasts, so you can join me every week for a vulnerable conversation. And be sure to follow Vulnerable on Instagram and TikTok @TheVulnerablePodcast. And make sure to tune in to my YouTube to watch the video version.